from Revelation, and I'm going to start pulling on some major concepts. We're going to talk about darkness and light, sin and righteousness, and we're going to talk about death and life. And these are important concepts, especially as we're coming up on Right to Life Sunday, which is January 19th, so 2 weeks from today. So this week I want to talk about dark and light and how they're not actually opposites. People look at these like they're opposite things. Death and life aren't actually opposites. Neither are sin and righteousness. They're not opposites. But we're going to talk about dark and light today. So we're in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So John is writing, and he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you." Right? We look at a lot of these "this is the message" type things, right? 1 Corinthians 15, "This is what I received and what I passed on to you." Right? So here's what John says. "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Right? So light. That's the big concept here, right? Augustine in the 4th century and 5th century, he wrote about light and about how light and darkness and sin and righteousness kind of intertwine and intermingle, and how this is a strange concept for us, right? So light, what is it? "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So he's saying that there's one way to walk not in darkness, and that is to walk in the light. Right? Romans 1, Paul says about darkness, he says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So we're seeing this dichotomy of light versus darkness, right? Light's a funny thing. In the scientific terms, light is a wave, and light is a particle. It is both, right? It has weight to it, right? So when Einstein put his thing together, he said that there's a mass to light, that light has a mass. But light's a wave. Waves don't have mass in scientific terms, right? Sound doesn't have a mass to it. It's just a wave. So it's a very unique thing to utilize, right? As is darkness, because darkness is not actually something. Right? It's like cold. Cold is not actually something. Can't measure cold, just as you can't measure darkness. Right? You can measure the amount of light, and you can measure the amount of heat. You cannot measure the amount of darkness or the amount of cold. They're not things that are measurable. So scientifically speaking, these aren't things. Right? It is the absolute, darkness is the absolute absence of light. So it's taking all the light and removing it. Right? There is no light whatsoever. Well, we think we've been there. We think we've seen it, right? Same thing with sin, right? If we look at sin, it's not actually an entity. Can't measure it. It's either there or it's not. Right? If light is there, right, it's not. If there's no light, right, if there's no measure for our sin, there's no measure of sin, right? It's either present or it's not present. Right? Same with righteousness and sin, right? So do we have fellowship with it? Right? Well, you know, the question is who do we have fellowship with? What are we fellowshipping with? Right? In Genesis, it says Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah would be the oldest person to ever live. Right? Then Enoch walked with God for 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. What did he do? He walked with God. He had fellowship with God. One-on-one fellowship. Right? And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. One of two people that we don't ever see die in the Bible. Right? Enoch and? Well, Jesus, we actually see his physical death. Elijah, right? We never see them die, right? They're taken up by God into heaven. So, Enoch was just taken. It doesn't talk about him dying, right? He's not recording as having died. He is a picture of the one to come. He walked in direct fellowship with God. Right? And then talked about us being cleansed, right? It says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates of the city. What are they washing their robes in? They're washing their robes in righteousness in Christ. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone else who loves and practices lying. It's Revelation 22, 14 to 15. So who's inside? Those who've washed their robes. Wash their robes through Christ. Who's on the outside? That's everybody else, right? Like a dog returns to his vomit, a fool returns to his folly. Right? So he's likening them to people who refuse to accept Christ as he is. So the question is are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb that was slain for us all, for our sins? That's what Revelation's really getting at there. So what is this sin thing anyways, right? Sin is the word hamartia, right? It's used 172 times in the New Testament. 172 times. That's a lot of times to talk about sin. People are like, oh, Jesus always talked about love. That's 172 times he's talking about sin. Sin literally means, hamartia literally means to miss the mark, right? The question is, are you missing the mark of perfection? Christ calls us to be perfect as I am perfect. Be holy as I am holy. Are we missing that mark? Right? Be careful how you answer that, right? Because there are a lot of people who say, no, I'm not missing that mark at all. I don't have sin. That's what John's warning us about here, right? If you say you have no sin,
you're lying.
The truth is not in you.
There's a sinner right there.
Right. Do you say you have no sin? If yes, the truth is not in you. You have no keeping with the truth. But just like with light and darkness, right? It's odd that they would use something that we don't fully even understand now. Right? We don't fully understand how light works. We don't fully understand what light even really is. Right? We do know that it's energy. And energy is something that's even more of a mystery. But the problem with sin and darkness is the problem of evil, right? People want to say that because evil exists, God doesn't. That's a common thing. Oh, there's so much evil in this world, there's no way that a good God exists. Right? I can't tell you the number of times I've heard that. Can't tell you the number of times that somebody's been like, oh, well, evil exists, therefore God doesn't. Well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If there is evil in the world and God is really in charge, then God cannot be good. That's what people want to say is the problem of evil. The problem with this is much like darkness, evil's not a thing. It's an absence of a thing. Darkness is the absence of light. Evil isn't actually something you can measure. You can't measure evil. There's no call for evil. Things are called evil. But why is that? Because they're in the absence of good. We can recognize what evil is by looking at, is it good? And we say no. When we say no, we're saying there's an absence of good. And we're saying that is evil. People say, well, God would get rid of evil if he were a good God. Where do you want him to start? I just had this discussion on Facebook, oddly. I seem to always have that when I'm preaching, is somebody brings up these weird problems that I'm about to preach on, right? And he says, well, if God is really good, then he'd get rid of evil. The question is, where do you want him to get rid of it? You want him to get rid of it at the lying level? The murder level? The lying level? The cheating level? The thought level? He'd have to start by getting rid of you. Because he has given us free will to determine what we're going to do. We determine what we do. That's the problem with saying that if there's evil in the world, God doesn't exist. And some will say that, oh, well, people don't have free will. Well, that means that God created evil. Because he'd have to. If we don't have free will, then God is determining everything, and then we are no longer responsible for anything. And this is why Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote, if God does not exist, all things are permissible. Meaning we can do what we want if God doesn't exist, because there's no accountability for it. There is no good, no bad. There's no right, no wrong.
No morals.
Plenty of chaos.
Evil is the lack of following the commands of God. It is taking God out of the picture and saying, I can do this on my own. Right? Can we? Look at societies that have done away with God in their society. They've said, we don't need God in our society. And people want to say, oh, well, Hitler was a Christian. Hitler wasn't a Christian. All right, Hitler thought of Christians as a Jewish sect. And we know what he wanted to do to all Jewish people. Right? And that's seen through the writings of people like Goebbels, who was one of his, you know, big dogs. He says that Christians were viewed as a Jewish sect, and he wanted to do away with them just as much as he wanted to do away with Jews. Alright, so that's silly and ridiculous to say that Hitler was a Christian. He wasn't. Right? So when we do away with God, we get our own rules, and our rules go. Everything becomes subjective, right? So whatever the government says is just as good as what I say, or what, you know, anybody else says. We see this taking place a lot in communist societies. They say, no God, we don't need him, right? We saw that in China, Russia, well, the Soviet Union, still in Belarus, Cuba, right? And even in Germany, where Hitler viewed himself as God. So we have over just the, if we just take China, Russia, Germany, we have over 100 million people killed in the name of tolerance and atheism. And they didn't think what they were doing was wrong. We look at that and go, wow, that's ridiculous. But if there is no God, everything is permissible. You can do what you want. And nobody's to say you're right or wrong. You know, I had a second discussion. It's weird. I get into a lot of weird discussions on Facebook. But somebody was like, oh, Christians are not to judge. Now, we've talked about that, right? It says, judge in the same manner that you would be judged. Right? So, if I'm going to hold to the Bible as true, I'm going to judge by the Bible. And I want to be judged by the Bible.
It's a righteous judgment.
Right. But we have to judge things rightly, good and evil. We have to know what is good and what is wrong. What is right, what is wrong. And we have to pass those judgments on. Otherwise, we fall into this dichotomy where we're deceiving ourselves. And we say that, oh, there's no good, no evil. Whatever I want goes. Just like with light and darkness, right? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." It's simple. Jesus died for your sins. Put your faith in him, and in him alone, your trust, right? In him and him alone, and you will be saved from your sins. It's simple. Is it easy? Absolutely not. There's a difference between easy and simple, right? But it's simple. "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully," right? You're gonna have problems if you're accepting something other than what is preached in the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was resurrected for your sins so you can be saved, so you can be resurrected as well. Right? People like Bart Ehrman want to say, "Oh, Paul spent a lot of time talking about the death of Jesus." No, Paul spent a lot of time talking about the rebirth of Jesus, the resurrection. That's where he spent his time at. Satan is a deceiver. Anything that preaches another Christ is a deception. This includes our harmless, we'll put that in air quotes, media. Like this. The Da Vinci Code. Right? The Da Vinci Code is based on 3rd and 4th century Gnostic texts, which say that there's some special
code
behind everything in the Bible. You just have to listen to us and you will get saved, right? How about this one? The First Temptation of Christ. It's a new Netflix movie where Jesus is pushed as being a homosexual.
Oh my goodness.
How about this? A guy named John Dominic Crossan. He's a scholar. He says, "Who is Jesus?" He says, "Answers to your questions about the historical Jesus."
Historical.
Right? So these are... And he is highly, highly utilized in anything on the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, talking about this. Well, you won't know that you're watching it until you see John Dominic Crossan, and you're like, "Wow, I am watching the wrong thing." So he gives this historical Jesus, but he gives it from these other books. Like the Gospel of Philip,
Matthew,
the Gospel of Thomas.
The beauty of that is I will know that I'm watching the wrong channel, right? The beauty of that is I'll say, "Whoa, I'm watching the wrong channel.
I'm watching something with John Dominic Crossan. This is not good," right?
Well, so, the other thing is, too, is that people will fall into that without hitting the Bible on their own to double-cross and check it.
Well, that's...
People that don't realize. I was just speaking for myself.
So we see that our society, our culture, wants to paint a different Jesus. Our society wants to paint a Jesus that is not painted by the Gospels, is not painted by the Scripture, which we can show goes back to within 50 years of Jesus' death.
Love is love.
Right? So Ephesians, Paul writes, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood," right? These are false Christs, right? "Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry." Be angry. If somebody's preaching a false Christ, that should irritate you. That should make you mad. That should, Netflix should become, something you're like, "Hey, what are you people doing?" Right? "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Pray to God for help with this," right? "And do not give the devil an opportunity, a foothold, a place to get in," right? Because that's what he wants. "The only thing it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing." Roosevelt said that. So if we don't speak the truth, if we're not out there combating these things, the lie will push forward. It'll go on. It'll press on. But we have to press on, right? So what does John tell us? We have to confess. Confess our sins to God. Right? I now rejoice that you were made sorrowful. Not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. You confess what's wrong, and you turn away from it. Repentance is a 180. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. You were made sorrowful of your sin, and you sought to change what was going on. You didn't want to remain doing what you were doing. That's 2 Corinthians 7. Right? So, we have to realize that God wants us to repent. He wants us to be sorrowful for our sin. Are you sinning and it doesn't bother you? You've got a problem. It's in your heart. Are you going against God and it doesn't bother you? You've got a problem. It's in you. Problem is not with God, it's with you. Do you see something wrong and don't have a desire to see it fixed? Problem is you, not God. He didn't manufacture evil. People do that. Confession will lead to repentance.
That last one, you should print that out so I could send it to Ricky.
This one?
Yeah.
So we have to be faithful.
My
the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. How do we know it's full? We have laws. We have just laws. We have righteous laws. In our books it says, do not murder. That's in our own law books. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. These things are all written in our laws. They have been from the dawn of creation. The Nag Hammurabi, which is an ancient text, which gives just a series of laws, shows that the same laws have been around since the dawn of time. But we want to say that people evolve. And that they're evolving through different stages. We haven't seen it in over 10,000 years of written human history. The rules have stayed the same the entire time. Across all different types of societies, the same rules have applied to everyone. So when he says, the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord, all those laws that the Lord loves in righteousness and justice, they have existed and continue to exist across every culture. He is just. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. That's Isaiah 61:8. God does not want robbery. He doesn't even want it in the church. He wants the church to really have nothing to do with money. The only reason we have to is because in America we consider the church a business. And some people make it a big business. And that is robbery and the burnt offering. He says, I will faithfully give them their recompense. What they got coming to them, I'm going to give them. Those who are stealing, fleecing the flock is what people call it. Those who are fleecing the flock, God will give them their recompense. He's going to come against them, right? God is faithful and he's just to forgive us. Why? We've done so much wrong against God, yet God forgives us. And he's okay to do that. That's his call. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's Hebrews 9:22. Forgiveness? How can God forgive sin and still hold justice up, though? How can he still be just if he's willing to forgive our sins, right? He's got to pay for the sin if that's the case. Because the payment has to be perfect. Otherwise, it's not permanent. And he did that through Jesus of Nazareth. Right? It's not new. Right? None of this, I have not sinned, is new. In the Old Testament, they were saying it, right? Jeremiah says, yet you said, I am innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. Behold, I will enter into judgment with you because you say, I have not sinned. God is going to judge you more harshly if you say, I have not sinned, because you make God to be a liar. Because he says in his word, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you say that the word of God is a lie, you're calling God himself a liar. 1 John 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. He's talking about false teachers. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John 4, 4 through 6. We know because we are God's children, because we do believe in the word of God what sin is. And we know we got to call sin a sin. Because if we're not, we're allowing people to go off in their error. We're allowing false teachers to come into the church and to run things and run them wrongly, not pointing people to the true God. Right? But this truth, it won't be in us if we allow this to go. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Accurately handling it. If you're not accurately handling it, we got to call you out on that. We got to call you a false teacher. Wait, that's a judgment. But doesn't the Bible say do not judge? Righteous judgment. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Right? We have to make sure that we are resting in the truth of God. The truth of the scripture. Because if we're not, we're not resting in something that holds any weight whatsoever. That is what we've got to be concerned with. When we look at, you know, when we look back and we go into John, right? He says, let me get there real quick. Sorry. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God sent his Son to the earth to cleanse us. He talks about we have to wash our robes. What are we washing them in? The blood of Christ. Because that is what God has called us to do, is to call on Christ. But I can't call on a dead person. No, because Christ is alive. We can call on Christ. And he will wash us. He will cleanse us from our sin. If we say we have no sin, we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have deceived ourselves. So many people, they say, you can't call out somebody who's a sinner. But then the truth is not in us. We're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If God directs us to call somebody out on their sin, and we don't do it, that is a sin in and of itself. And the truth is then not in us. Then our fear of judging people puts us condemned. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be condemned. I don't want God to condemn me for my lack of action. Right? There are sins of omission, not doing what you're supposed to do. Yes, there are sins of commission, and we see them all over the place, but there are sins of not doing what we're supposed to do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. God will cleanse us. He will wash us clean from the unrighteous behaviors we have. If we say that we have not sinned, and there are preachers out there who will say, I have not sinned. There are preachers who will call themselves perfect, say that they have sinless perfection.
What table is he?
And if we say that, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Calling God a liar. We're not worried about what we're calling each other. I'm more worried about what am I calling God. If I'm calling God a liar, then the truth is not in me. I have no place with God. And if I have no truth in me, then by my omission, I have removed myself from the family. I've removed myself from God's presence. We have to be diligent. We have to be at the ready. And present yourself approved to God as a workman. Are you ready to go and work for God? Who does not need to be ashamed. Because we know what the truth is. We know what is out there. And we know the pros and the cons. We know that if we serve as ashamed people, we're not going to tell people that about their sin. And we have to accurately handle the word of truth. Judge it righteously. Don't judge it because it's against what you believe, you know, socially or politically. Judge it by what's in here. So many people I hear say something about, oh, the Bible says in the Old Testament, you know, it's right next to, you know, shellfish and blue jeans, right? That's not where we get that. You know, if you want to judge something as sin, look at Romans. Look at all of Romans, right?
Romans chapter 1
gives us a whole list. They gave themselves over the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. That's called idolatry. Who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, men also abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons a due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. These people, it's anybody who's a sinner, they are filled with unrighteousness. Well, that doesn't sound like they're full of light. Sounds like darkness. Wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's Romans 1. It's 24 to 32. We see that there is right and there is wrong, and we have to accurately handle the word of truth. That's God's word. And we have to use that for how we judge something, whether we judge it as right or wrong. But in the end, we have to avoid worldly and empty chatter, right? Because what's worldly and empty chatter? That's gossip. That's right here in verse... Not 29. Right? Or slander. That's verse 30. Right? For it will lead to further ungodliness. Once we get to slander and we get to gossip, we get to this inventors of evil, and before we know it, it's spiraled out of control. So what's John calling us to do? He's calling us to acknowledge our sin, to confess it. Right? I'm not talking like going into a confessional and being like, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. You know, I did this and this and this. That's not, confession is not that. We confess our sins to God. And when we confess our sins to God, it says He is faithful and just to forgive. Faithful and righteous to forgive. So we must pass a righteous judgment and judge things rightly. And when we do that, we find that we are indeed found to be approved workmen and handling the word of truth accurately. And we are accepted into the family of God. Let's pray.